Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least four shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.
Williams throwing, and it's caught for the touchdown by DJ Moore. Forget about the clock. Just take the lead when you can.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
The Chicago Bears, huge comeback on Saturday night against the Green Bay Packers, setting up divisional round Sunday. Oh, baby. The Rams and the Bears at Soldier Field. We just told you, per Rams head coach Sean McVay, sprained right finger for Matthew Stafford on his throwing hand. We saw that at the end of the first half of the Rams win in Carolina against the Panthers. But Stafford going to be good to go and going to play this weekend. The Rams 3.5-point road favorites, total of the game, 51. Fascinating betting market, a fascinating divisional weekend coming up, and a fascinating wild card weekend that ends tonight with the Steelers and the Texans in Pittsburgh. And joining us right now to talk about all of it, this is a long time coming. I fancy myself to be a pretty talented person in the sports betting space and the sports content space. I have to be honest, someone who I also think is massively talented, and you see him all the time on ESPN, and his rise has been amazing to watch. He's on ESPN all the time, and he does an awesome job. And I have to also say, he's very well-dressed. Wore like this green velvet jacket. I had to text him about it. Where'd you get this green velvet jacket? Very handsome and talented Joe Fortenbaugh with us now on the show. ESPN sports betting analyst on social media at Joe Fortenbaugh. Joe, welcome to You Better You Bet. Nick Costos here. How you doing, my friend?
Couple things. Number one, the green velvet jacket. A classless individual, a person with massive ego, would be unwilling to share that information. I fancy myself very magnanimous. So when Nick Costos reaches out asking about the jacket, I immediately send him the information so he can obtain a similar jacket should he so choose. Number two, let me start with a thank you to you guys. You're the only show of the last 5 years who has asked me to come on and promoted me with a picture that isn't peak fatness that everybody else finds from the internet and uses. There's a photo I took in Las Vegas in a
suit. I know which one it is that you're talking about, right? You got a big smile on your face, got like sideburns. I know exactly the picture you're talking about.
Bro, it's peak fatness coming off COVID. It's August 2020. I had moved from San Francisco to Vegas. We were just starting the show back up out there. Peak fatness. Somehow this photo has been the photo that has represented me for 5 years. And when you promoted me coming on today, I saw on social media the photo and I was like, look at these guys. They actually found a reasonable Joe Fortenbaugh photo. Thank you for that. You made my day.
Now, I say this as someone, and I admit this, that I am very vain and I care very much about my physical appearance. And I'm very open about that, right? I get my hair cut once a week. I work. I do this not because like I want to look good. It's because I'm trying to like fight my crippling insecurities, right? Like I need to look good.
Y'all are.
So as someone who is very vain, I ask you this, and this is not leading you to say that you are, but you clearly take care of yourself, right? I love the wardrobe on TV. What would you say 1 to 10, 10 being most vain? How would you rate yourself on the vanity scale?
Oh, hi. I mean, look, I'm getting up there in age. Every 3 months, your boy's getting shots into the forehead to keep those wrinkles. Okay. And let's be very clear.
I have not gotten Botox. Not yet. I like that you've progressed to that point.
No, I'm there. And the funny thing is I don't actually get Botox. I get the other one. I think it's called like Dyspore or whatever. I don't actually put the research in to know. But so if people are like, do you get Botox? I go, no. And then they stare at me and I'm like, I just get the other one. I like to mess with them a little bit, but like it's a stone cold forehead. It's very clear that there's no movement going on there. But to be fair about that, if you were not in this industry, if you were not a public figure, would you still care as much about your appearance?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'd probably let it go a little bit more. I'd still be very vain. I probably wouldn't be getting the injections though to that point. But yeah, still very vain. I mean, everything. Like you know, I just, I'd rather just buy all the lotions and the injections than go out and run a little bit and drop 5 pounds and take some of the weight off the chin. You know what I'm saying? Like, just go put some road work in, son.
I love it. I love it, man. And you're, and I think everyone knows this, right? Because we all watch sports on television. You're all over the place on ESPN. I see you on Get Up with Greeny. You're doing hits on SportsCenter. Obviously, ESPN Bet. What is your favorite thing out of all the things you do on ESPN and why?
That's a great question because a lot of them can be so different. I've been very lucky to get to work with a lot of different people. Get Up is a lot of fun because the Get Up meeting from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. is where you'll come across more information than you could possibly know what to do with. Everyone's in there just unloading everything they know. A lot of it can't make it to air, but you can watch how Greeny builds a show, how that team builds a show, and then you can be on the set watching them execute the show. I'm kind of a nerd for the industry, so I really do enjoy watching the people that are at the very top of the mountain who have very successful shows. How do they put them together? How do they execute them? So that's what's great about Get Up. I've hosted First Take a few times, whereas you look around the table, it's Cam Newton, Ryan Clark, and Stephen A. Smith. And as they're talking, there will be these moments where you just think to yourself, like, what am I doing here? How did this happen? And as you're thinking that, someone will be in your ear saying, you know, it's okay if you want to jump in. And it's like, where the hell am I going to jump in with these three? Like, there is no oxygen for someone like me to get even a sentence in there. You almost have to go to war to get those three to allow you to go to the commercial break. So, like, that's a unique experience. And then when we were doing ESPN Bet Live, we're on hiatus now. We're kind of reimagining the show in the transition from the Penn deal to the DraftKings deal. That's just us getting to do what we love. Like, you and I would be betting sports anyway. So I'm basically taking what I'm already doing in my life, and then I just get to go on TV and talk to people about it. That's incredible. Like, that's the true pinch me moment where I don't think I'll ever get over that.
We did... When you used to work for covers way back in the day, right? I think when I was at CBS at the time, I might not have even been at CBS at the time. This may have been, I was still a producer at Sirius writing for Bleacher Report. I came on your show, right? Which is the Sharp 600 at the time. This like has to be at least a decade ago, right? So we've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, dude, like that's the great thing about this is we're in 2026 now. And when I go back to when I was doing sports talk radio in San Francisco, like pre-PASPA, into when the transition happened, like all the people I used to talk to that would come on this show and talk betting with me, like Kazarian would come on back then. It was before the show started at ESPN when he was just doing sports betting and doing Sports Center, but wasn't necessarily doing, you know, Daily Wager, which it was back then. You used to be gracious with your time. And you just think back to all the individuals that were doing this, that were grinding at this before it even became legal. And then it did. And so many more people flooded the market, which was great because we all got so many more opportunities. But yeah, it's been fun to watch your growth. Like you stepped in at Odyssey and they basically opened up a window here and said, we need something done. And then bang, what's it been like 7 years now? Like how many years have you been doing this? And you're owning the space.
This is year seven. Yeah. And in August will be 7 years.
7 years. I knew it. And you get all, and I'm not joking around with me being on today, but all the people that you have on are all people I follow. They're all people I either know or I've talked to or I respect their opinion. Like it's great watching this community go in the direction it's gone. You've done a great job with that with this show. I applaud you for that.
Mutual Admiration Society. Yeah. You know I'm a big fan of yours. This is great. I actually will
talk
do this again.
WWE.
I hope
we disagree on Cena,
how wrong you were on John Cena and his No. Well, now I am, and the audience knows this. I'm also a huge sports media nerd. So we have too much sports stuff to get to. Next time you come on, I want to ask you, because I don't think we'll have enough time now. I'm just going to say that the question will be, give us a fun behind-the-scenes story of maybe it's Greeny, maybe it's someone else, where you're watching a show get put together and it's like, wow, this is one of these great moments. Okay. I think the audience really loves that stuff also. We'll do that next time. You bet on this Monday, Westwood One Sports.
Book me for the downtime. Like, you know there's downtime. Like, get me on All-Star Week in July, and we'll go off on that.
I was going to say maybe All-Star Week in February for the NBA. We'll see how it goes. Joe Fortenbaugh is our guest, ESPN sports betting analyst on Twitter, at Joe Fortenbaugh. You are a Philadelphia Eagles fan, right?
Yeah.
They lose yesterday to the San Francisco 49ers. I bet the Eagles just, like, had them to win the Super Bowl, just pretty miserable. I opened the show today talking about the game by saying the Eagles need to trade A.J. Brown, and it needs to happen basically as fast as possible. Agree or disagree with that assessment? And where are you at on the 2025 Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, agree, because the thing is, even when you throw him the ball, he's not making the plays. Like, right? Like, it, you're willing to tolerate so much drama and so much headache if the production is in line with that, right? The more someone produces, the more you're willing to tolerate. The less they produce, the easier it is to cut them. Well, he wasn't really making plays yesterday. I love the fact that Sirianni was in his face after that play down the sidelines that went off his hands that he didn't make. It wasn't an easy grab, but it's got to be one of those. And I'm just guessing what Sirianni was saying, but just getting in his face, basically like, hey, man, all year you've been yelling about how you want the ball. There it was. Like, make the play. Be the guy who makes the play if you're going to talk all this junk all year long, because we've all tolerated it all year. Now we need you to hold up your end, which is make the play. So, yeah, I'd be interested in trading him. The game yesterday shouldn't be much of a surprise to any of us with the way they stalled out. Hurts is not progressing as a quarterback. He's good. He's not great. I know there are people that will point to the Super Bowl performance. Well, yeah, Spagnuolo was selling out against the running back. The priority in the Super Bowl last year was not limiting Jalen Hurts. It was limiting Saquon Barkley. And they did that, which opened up the field for Hurts to make plays all over the place. Like, you should be able to produce when you have a top three O-line, top three wide receiver unit, top five tight end, number one running back. Like, are we surprised? And then you have an elite defense on top of it. So I tweeted this yesterday. I'm going to throw this to you. If the Eagles fired Nick Sirianni today, how many teams with head coaching vacancies would be calling about getting him in for an interview?
Oh, I think all of them, maybe.
Really?
I don't know if he'd... So how about this? He would definitely... Like, the Browns wouldn't hire Nick Sirianni, or like the Titans wouldn't hire Nick Sirianni. I don't know what job he would... I actually think he would get a lot of interviews. I mean, look.
Okay.
Obviously, like, this was a bad year. They won the Super Bowl last year. We could say, like, Kellen Moore, great offensive coordinator. Fangio, great defensive coordinator. They also almost won the Super Bowl a couple years ago also against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, like, he's not someone that knocks you dead at the press conference. I think I'm probably a bigger Sirianni fan than most. Also, great first name.
It's just the wildest thing that this team has these fluctuations. Like, it feels like a problem we've never really seen before, where it's like, this guy does a ton of winning, but we're not necessarily sure he's that great. You win the Super Bowl, but then you completely fall off a cliff. What's the deal with the quarterback? Like, there was no excuse. I just watched Caleb Williams go to San Francisco and destroy this defense. The Niner defense sucks, and that's because of all the injuries, but they suck. The fact that you had that many issues yesterday at home moving against that lousy defense, and then, of course, at the end of the game when it's like, hey, defense, we're going to need you to just go win this thing. Don't worry. George Kittle's out. Ricky Pearsall's not playing. Trent Williams isn't 100%. You should be fine. Oh, no, wait. We're going to go ahead and let Reed Blankenship make five big mistakes. It's a fitting end to a season from a really talented team that was disorganized and sloppy all year long.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds for this one.
Yeah.
Should Kevin Petullo have to serve jail time for what happened this season with the Eagles offense?
I can't believe he's actually still hired as of right now. I'll leave it
right
at that. 10 seconds. I can't believe he's still hired as of right now.
I mean, for me, it's like, who goes on trial first, Maduro or Petullo? I think it's maybe a little bit of a toss-up. All right, let's spin this forward. Let's talk some bets for divisional weekend in the NFL. We'll close with Monday Night Football. So, literally, over the course of the last half hour, the Seattle Seahawks have gotten bet. And we are a BetMGM show. Joe does work with DraftKings. We can all talk about this stuff because it's 2026 and it's all good. Seattle at BetMGM right now, Joe, is out to a 7.5-point home favorite. This was 7, like, 20 minutes ago. Total in the game is 45.5. I kind of want to bet the Niners after what they did yesterday. Maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. Do you have an initial thought for us, even if there's not a bet in the accounts yet for the Niners and the Seahawks next weekend?
I mean, as soon as you say 7.5, I'm thinking teaser. I'll take that down to 1.5. I could pair it with Pittsburgh tonight if you want to go ahead and take them up to 9. More on that in a little bit. I'm sure we could find some other angles with whoever the dog is in the Denver game, because I know that was bouncing around at 1.5. You take that up to 7.5, and boom, there's a teaser for you. I would lay it with Seattle. I'm not thrilled at 7.5 to make the play, but I don't have a ton of faith in the Niners. I think I can live in two spaces. Space one, Shanahan's done a remarkable job with what he's had to work with this year. And space two, on top of that, Robert Saleh has done a remarkable job with what he's had to work with all the injuries. Now, I'm going to move over to space two. Despite all that and the easy schedule, this is a major step up in class. I really don't see you competing. Sam Darnold's problem is when you pressure him. Get pressure on Sam Darnold and you can watch him crack in big spots. The Niners can't pressure. Worst pressure rate since Bosa went down, which was, I believe, back in week 3. So I don't trust the defense to get the stops. It's an awful situation. Aren't they playing on Saturday? Don't they have to make the turnaround of going all the way to the East Coast to play on Sunday and then travel back, Kittle's out. Now you're going to go to Seattle on Sunday and deal with that. I could see Seattle rolling them, and I love the Seattle defense. So, yeah, I would be laying the points there. I'd be looking at that as a teaser as well. Seattle team total, I'd be betting that over too.
And Kyle Shanahan did his best post-game yesterday to be like, hey, NFL, like, maybe you could let us play on Sunday? Nope. Here's Saturday against the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, all the one seeds always play on Saturday. And look, like, he has a case to be made. Just kind of is what it is. Let's stay in the NFC. So McVay said earlier this hour in real time, sprained right finger for Matthew Stafford, but he's going to play. We did see a small move in the betting market off of that news. Total ticks down from 51.5 to 51. The Rams, a 3.5-point road favorite right now at Chicago. If you have an early thought on this game coming up on Sunday?
The Bears have been giving it to me all season, dude. Like, all season. Every time I go against the Bears.
Did you have Green Bay on Saturday night? Because I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's Teddy KGB, right? I stick it in you. Like, all year long with this Bears team. What is it now? It's like 7 wins coming from behind in the final 2 minutes. We can put all the analytics out there, all the regression to the mean stuff. They just find ways to get it done. I think right now, the first thought I have in this game is, and this is going to be based on largely on the weather, so we got to keep an eye on that. What's going to be the Bears team total in this game? And I'm going to want to bet the over. That Rams defense, if you look at them over the last month plus of the season, has been a major problem. Like, they started the year as a real strength. The last month of the season, look at some of the games where they've gotten torn up. Carolina's put points on them twice. That Arizona game late in the season, they played them twice. Arizona was moving the ball on them in those games. There's a few others as well. I think it was Detroit was one, and I'm blanking on the other, but that defense has not been getting stops. The secondary's really vulnerable. The Bears have been running the ball down everyone's throat. I know there's an O-line injury to keep an eye on, but my first thought with the game would be the Bears team total over. I think they're going to find a way to hang their points. I don't know if I want to lay it with the Rams. It was 4.5. We're down to 3.5. But again, I can see why, because everyone's waiting for this regression to kick in on the Bears. The problem is, how many times can I bet into that and lose before I just take my lickings and move on? So first bet out for me is going to be Bears team total over. They've hit it a lot this year. That offense can score.
I had the ability to Google that while Joe was talking. The other one was the Bijan Robinson and the Falcons beating them on Monday night a couple weeks ago. I was just making Kirk Cousins turn back the clock in that game. I said the same thing, man. The Rams defense is terrible, specifically the secondary. I think I like the over in the game just period, if it's going to be 51. Bears team total over, a good look as well. To the AFC, and we'll close with Monday Night Football, but two-parter for you here. Who do you like in the Bills-Broncos game early in the week? Buffalo is a 1.5-point road favorite. Total of the game is 46.5. And do you agree with me, as I said earlier in the show, that the Buffalo Bills, not the New England Patriots — the Patriots are favored everywhere to win the AFC right now, and it's not a huge price discrepancy — I think the Bills should be favored to win the AFC. So Bills-Broncos, and who do you think should be the favorite in the conference?
All right, I still think it should be the Patriots, just because they're going to be at a strategic advantage with rest at home next week against either the Texans coming outdoors again on the road 2 weeks in a row, or it's going to be against the Steelers, who I don't have a whole lot of faith in. The situation's a lot better for them, which is why I would lean to that. If you're asking me who the best team is, that's going to be Bills. But who should be the favorite? Look to the Patriots. The Broncos game is a fascinating one because kind of like with the Bears, I really like the record, but I really don't trust the quarterback, and the defense has fallen off later in the season. And I'm not sure I trust them to get the job done. We always talk about this in the NBA playoffs, like which team just has the best player. That's where you want to look. Which team has the best player in the series? And this game, the best player is Josh Allen. Like, Jacksonville should have won that game yesterday, but they didn't have Allen. Even though McDermott tried to screw it up at the end by running into the end zone when Jacksonville was letting him in, and then he gives him over a minute to come down the field and score, Allen still found a way to overcome all of that. So I don't know if I'm going to be in a rush to bet the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix, because I really did like the way the Buffalo defense looked. Early lean is to Buffalo, but I have done nothing with this game as of yet.
And let's close, my friend, with Monday Night Football. Wild Card Weekend wraps up tonight. Oh, baby, with the Steelers and the Texans on ESPN and ABC. Houston, a 3-point road favorite. Total of the game, 38. How are you betting Pittsburgh? Can I just guess this? I'm gonna guess you like Pittsburgh. It feels like everybody that does this likes Pittsburgh. Ooh. Maybe not though. What do you like?
Okay. So favorite bet is the under here. I know it's low and I know it's been dropping. Favorite bet's the under. I don't need to say anything on this show about the Houston defense. I'm sure you've said plenty and the audience is smart enough after listening to you and your guests for a while to understand this is a great defense. The Pittsburgh defense is where things get interesting. Jalen Ramsey moved to safety in week 9. They moved him from corner to safety. I'm going to read some numbers to you. I have them in front of me. First 8 weeks of the season with Ramsey playing corner, the Steelers were 22nd in scoring defense, 24th in efficiency, 24th in EPA. From week 9 on with Ramsey at safety, 13th in scoring, 11th in efficiency, 11th in EPA. They've made some big strides. We haven't necessarily talked about that as much because we talk about Metcalf, Tomlin, and Rodgers when we talk about the Steelers. Defense has gotten better. Dome team coming outside in the cold. Both play at a relatively slow pace, especially Houston. Really like the under. Side, lean to Pittsburgh plus the 3. I haven't done anything with it yet. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if the Houston defense just has one of these Herculean efforts to win the game on their own. So I haven't done anything with the side. Lean Pittsburgh plus the points because it's a low total. I'll rip through some props here. Marquez Valdez-Scantling over 1.5 receptions is like plus 160, over 11.5 receiving yards. Rodgers likes going to his guys. I'd have to imagine with Stingley going after Metcalf, we're going to have an opportunity to get some MVS stuff. So I play those overs. I played the Metcalf under. It's about 55 yards. Chris Boswell over 1.5 field goals. I'd be looking at that too. I think Pittsburgh will move a little bit. I just don't think they're going to end up finding a way to cash in for touchdowns. So that's generally what I'm thinking for tonight. Low scoring game. I think Pittsburgh's in it. I'd look to the 3, but I haven't done anything with the side.
Joe is an absolute stud. And I'm not just talking his physical appearance. An absolute star when it comes to talking about sports. Dude, like you make every show you're on better. I appreciate you. On Twitter at Joe Fortenbaugh. Watch him on ESPN. Good luck with the bets. We'll talk soon. And next time, maybe we'll talk about why you were very wrong about John Cena's final match, my friend.
Okay. Nothing to say on that now. We'll get into it. Maybe as we build up to WrestleMania, we'll do a wrestling show. But I love you, Nick. I love the fact that we've known each other for so long and somehow we're still surviving in this business. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Surviving and thriving, my friend. The great Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN joining us here on You Better, You Bet. Joe giving us some bets for Steelers-Texans, likes the under. Give us a couple prop bets as well. Absolutely love that. On the other side, my bets for the Steelers and Texans. Thy Royal Prop King. I got a yardage bet that I think is a winner for tonight. Anytime touchdown bet that I can't wait to give out. All my bets for tonight in the world of sports. On the other side, to wrap up the magnificent Football Monday edition of You Better, You Bet here on Westwood One Sports.
I'm Sarah Turney.
And I'm Courtney Nicole.
We're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, The Final Hours.
Crime has impacted both of our families, teaching us how the last conversations, the missed red flags, can change everything.
On The Final Hours, we examine the moments before a disappearance and the questions that never got answered. A podcast that puts the moments before a disappearance under a microscope.
Listen to and follow The Final Hours, available now wherever you get your podcasts.